Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. We continue with our Beyond the Beltway analysis tonight, featuring commentary by Marty Garrity, Dan Johnson-Weinberger, Coretta McFerrin, and in this hour, Michael Horowitz, a psychologist and president of the Chicago School, one of the major suppliers of professional psychologists around this United States. And our phone lines remain open at 1-800-723-8289. We're talking about what transpired in the Gulf Coast and certainly in the area of New Orleans and Alabama and Mississippi this past week. We heard from Chris Bury in our last hour reporting on some of the chaos that he experienced in covering the story in New Orleans. And we have lots of callers on the line. We will bring them into our conversation in just a moment. But Dr. Horowitz, I thank you very much for joining us on this program. I have two questions to ask you. We have the impact of this devastation on the individuals who are going through it, and then I want to know more about the impact on all of us who are from afar watching it all. Let's talk about the people involved first.
That's a great question, Bruce. There's really four levels of impact. First, of course, the victims directly, the adults and children that are victims of these terrible events. And I really would cut it between adults and kids, because kids go through the trauma themselves and then can be re-traumatized when the adults around them are not able to help them and respond. Then, as you suggest, a really key community that's impacted are the responders, particularly the first responders. And there's been some terrible reports already of suicides among the New Orleans police. There's terrible trauma among people that get in there first, see the dead bodies, have to cope with all kind of stress, or being pushed beyond their physical and emotional limits. Then, as you suggest, the communities and families of the people affected, and then all of us here with something of this magnitude are going to be affected for a long time.
And so much has been spent over the last week talking about what we as Americans can do, and obviously a number of charities have opportunities to call up and offer funding support. Is there something cathartic about giving at a time like this? Does that make one better?
I think so. And in fact, one of the things we know about resilience is that most people, most victims, will recover. After a year, we're down to single digits of people who have really serious impact from the trauma. And part of what helps them is the social network of the help that they get. So by helping, we help ourselves. We also help the victims, who feel that social norms, the community is rallying around them. So that's absolutely critical.
Also, Michael Chertoff, who's the head of the Homeland Security Department, he said today he was on every Sunday morning show today, and in every interview that I saw, he warned America that conceivably the worst may yet come.
Right.
It may come when they dewater the city, and that's why he wants everybody out of the city. But when they dewater the city, the true magnitude of this story really will hit home, and warned us all about the devastating pictures that are on the horizon for us all.
Yeah, and I don't think we're used to this kind of chaos and destruction here within the United States, and feeling like it's a part of our society. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the helplessness and the blame that you discussed in the first hours.
And also, I think the ripple effect, again, in the weeks to come, we'll talk about the economic impact and those, you know, the devastation of that. And I will just share, and this is something that I've shared on this program before, in the wake of some floods that have taken place, the Great Mississippi Flood of several years ago. In 1938, my father lost everything in the great New England hurricane of 1938. He never, ever recovered from that.
Yeah.
It was he came from an upper middle class, very successful businessman. Mm-hmm. He was in the boat business. He lost all of his boats. They were there for just a short time. The insurance did not cover it. Mm-hmm. And he never recovered from that. Mm-hmm. And so stories like this and the impact you can have on a life, I know from a firsthand perspective.
You mean emotionally and financially?
Financially, never. Mm-hmm. Never. Never recovered. Let us go to Marvin, listening to us in Temple, Texas on KLBJ. You're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to comment to everybody earlier. All the guests were trying to point the fingers at each other and different parties, different persons. It just seems to me there's not a level of government that looks good in New Orleans. I hope so. That's all I hear reported on. I hope the rest of the country get a lot better. But as far as New Orleans goes, is there a level of government that did their job?
No, that's the point that I was making at the beginning when I stated my five or six points that I hoped everybody would agree with. Not everybody did agree with them, and that is that in this particular case, you know, there is enough blame to go around in a lot of areas. There is no one that has done a great job here. Mm-hmm. The only people that we can say, I think, and everybody would collectively say, that have done a good job, and that is these are the first responders, whether they're a local police officer who's trying to stop looting or trying to save someone, or the guys that are riding the helicopters. I mean, the grunts that are actually doing the work, that are following the direction of either a governor, a mayor, or a president, or a secretary of Homeland Security. I mean, they're out there trying to help. Yeah. I mean, all of the police departments from all over the United States who called in to try to offer their volunteer policemen to go down and help out, just as they did in 9/11. I mean, we are seeing, and the caller in the last hour talking about, you know, the good side of America has been upstaged, if you will, by a very ugly part of America that we saw last week.
Bruce, I would say that I'm not so sure about the immediate first responders in New Orleans, the police and fire. I just don't know that for sure. Some of them obviously were stealing from a Walmart. But I think one thing we can say is the military has been the salvation of the situation down there. When the military arrived, they stopped the bad things from happening.
How do you want it? Your mic is going the wrong way. You want to just repeat that again?
I guess I would say I would give credit to the military for being the entity of government that has performed as well as anybody could possibly.
It always does, but they were late.
Yeah, they were late. But I would also say, you know, there were a lot of wonderful success stories of saving these old ladies who were trapped in attics with water up to their necks, where people would be busting out ventilation ducts to pull them out. There were a lot of people that were saved.
Tim in Kalamazoo, listening to us on WLS. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Bruce. How are you?
Okay.
Hey, I got one thing for Dan there and some of the other people. I just want to know why the mayor did not deploy the buses during the mandatory evacuation. As per the Louisiana Disaster Plan, page 13, paragraph 5, dated January of 2000, it's just a short paragraph. It says the primary means of a hurricane evacuation will be personal vehicles, school and municipal buses, government-owned vehicles, and vehicles provided by volunteer agencies may be used to provide transportation for individuals who lack transportation and require assistance in evacuating. So my question is, first you want to blame the feds and George Bush and everything else. I think a lot of the first blame goes to local authorities. That place completely collapsed down there.
Sure,
they did not even follow their own plan.
Tim, stay on the line. We do have to pause. I want to get your reaction. We'll engage Dan into that response when we come back. 1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Chicago.
If you take vitamin E, listen up. This is Larry King to tell you about a different form of vitamin E, Ester E. I take Ester E because it's not like any other vitamin E. Only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And because it's all natural, it's readily absorbed. So do what I do. Take Ester E. E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection. Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
When I do it, everything goes dark, and I feel like a different person.
Kenzie Olson is under the influence of her community theater volunteer, helping out at an after-school theater program. She helps Kenzie stay off drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back. From New York City to Kalamazoo, Michigan, you are listening to Beyond the Beltway. Tim from Kalamazoo is still on the line with us. He posed a question before the break. Dan Johnson Weinberger, you have an opportunity to respond
sure.
to rather specifics about how people were to be evacuated, those without the ability to have their own transportation.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a state plan and the mayor didn't, you know, corral the municipal bus systems to send people out to points unknown, that's certainly a failing of the mayor. I just wonder, Tim, whether you think the federal government let people down at all this week.
Well, listen, I think there's blame to go around. Now, I will say this, because I've been watching this very closely all week, and I got very irritated when there was things going on, and I kept saying, all right, when is the federal government going to, when is George Bush going to start sending in federal troops? You've got the governor down there who looked like, when she was on TV, every time was like deer caught in the headlights. She didn't look like she had a clue on what to do or who to turn to next. And I understand she was under a lot of stress. However, there's a lot of blame to go around. And to sit there and blame that there, you know, Bush's for 5 years impoverished these people and this, that, they didn't go down that road. The problem is,
Tim, I'll tell you, I think you should acknowledge, I think there's a clear consensus that the people who were left, by and large, were the people who couldn't afford to leave.
And you have a mayor there who is also African-American, so, and
all I'm saying about that, Tim, is that it's clear that the poverty rate has increased.
The poverty rate has increased, but however, you still have a plan that was not enacted. You have a mayor down there that didn't do what he was supposed to do. You have a governor that didn't do what she was supposed to do. And so quit blaming the federal government.
And also, I think it's important that we have to say that, you know, as I said in the beginning of the program, poverty, yes. Poverty is part of the problem. But in those areas, we also have a poorly educated class of people.
Absolutely.
And again, part of this is people that, you know, that for whatever reason, they're fearful to leave their homes, they're fearful to get on the bus, and all of that fear is understood. But the reality is, government can't go in and hammer people over the... I mean, what would have happened if people were going... And literally, they were being dragged out of their houses by the government. I mean, what would that reaction have been? That should have been done. But again, some people are they're always going to believe that the next one will get them, but this one's not.
Dr.
Horowitz.
Well, taken, Bruce Everett, there were lots of people who did go out onto the highways and were just left without any relief.
But they went to the Superdome, too. I mean, the same people that were saying they didn't have enough sense to get on a bus that was in front of their house somehow walked all the way to the Superdome to get in. And they knew about it. And if there had been a bus in front of their house, they would have ended up in Memphis instead of in the Superdome.
And everything would have been better at the Superdome if someone had had the appropriate number of supplies and there had been someone in charge. Now, again, Chris Bury was at the convention center, not at the Superdome, but there does not appear to be anyone in control of the Superdome, just as there was, as Chris reported, there wasn't anybody who took charge of the situation. And so you have poor people, you have poorly educated people, you have them thrust in crisis, in a cauldron of despair, and there's nobody there telling them what to do or communicating to them because they don't have phones, they don't have loudspeakers,
Bruce,
they don't have anything.
There was a reporter yesterday talking about the situation. In fact, he was at the Superdome and had been there all this time. I mean, he was just wonderful. And he said that there was no official in charge, but there was a guy, an older guy, that all of the people at the Superdome, they responded to this guy. And how he was helping them, giving them directions, helping them understand, helping them work together collaboratively. And the reporter was just amazed. This is when they showed the devastation in the bathrooms, and they went through and they just showed the pictures of everything, how bad it was. But this guy was able to get the people to respond and to work well together. And there was no official there at all.
Let's go to Aurora, Illinois. Carrie is listening to us on WLS Coast to Coast this evening. Go ahead, Carrie.
Good evening, gentlemen and lady.
Hello.
Good evening.
I just wanted to say I'm so glad that President Bush has appointed former President Clinton, to help former President Bush go out for the relief drive. Now, I can remember the floods we had in Mississippi in 1993. President Clinton wasn't playing golf. He was up there in the helicopter. He was consoling the people. My only remark is I voted for Bush in his first election. And I want to say this. I'd rather have a president that feels my pain, even if he's faking it, than an arrogant snob that inflicts it. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, well, I guess she made her point. Let's go to Mike, listening to us in Los Angeles on KOGO. Go ahead, you're on the air. Mike, are you there? Mike, are you there? Go ahead.
Hi. In my opinion, if last week was any indication of how government at any level gets things done or anticipates problems, I think it's wise that we postpone the court confirmation hearings until Congress conducts hearings on how they handle this thing and coordinate the effort for relief, because as the Homeland Security Director indicated, there's a lot of problems down the road, and if they don't just put everything off but this problem, they're going to get caught behind the eight ball again.
But would you also acknowledge what he had to say is that, granted, there will be times when these questions will be worked out. But at this moment in time, it is more important to focus attention and resources and everything else on the specific things that have to be done right now, including all of the dealing for all of the refugees. They their whole lives have been uprooted.
But these people
have to be moved. They have to be educated. Go ahead.
If I could say, is that the sequence of events that we saw here in Louisiana, that applies to the United States of America as a whole, the way Bush has rearranged things under Homeland Security and getting rid of FEMA at cabinet level and on, the way they've shifted the money around. If this hurricane's name was Al-Qaeda, you could be sure everybody would be driven out of there in limos.
Because there's enough money for the war on terrorism in the Bush administration's priorities, is what you're suggesting, and there's not enough money for other things?
I still think we're way behind the curve as to man-made or natural disasters. We are so far behind, but Bush is so tight-fisted with his ideological the exclusion of everybody else, and we're seeing it come up.
Are you saying it's the federal government's responsibility to evacuate New Orleans? Or, for instance, in San Francisco right now, are there lots and lots of limos lined up to take people out in case of Al-Qaeda, but if an earthquake occurs in San Francisco, the place is just going to fall down and everybody's going to stop
here? When we had the earthquake here in 94, everybody in this country came to help. September 11th, everybody in the world came to help. And now George Bush is saying, well, you people are on your own.
He's not saying that at all.
Isn't that what you're saying?
Marty, he wants to know if that's what you're saying.
Mike, he didn't say you're on your own. Take care of it.
Is that what you're saying?
He's sending the troops in. He's asking his two predecessors to organize
massive aid. Are you saying that they do need federal help?
I'm sorry?
Are you saying that they do need federal help?
Of course.
Okay. Well,
did you hear me say otherwise? I said the military has been a miracle worker there.
You asked me.
Let me ask this question, okay? And Dr. Horowitz, I want you to respond first. This is an opinion as an American citizen. Based on what you saw in the last week by the federal government, would everyone acknowledge that certainly if there is a nuclear or chemical or biological attack, there is a significant federal obligation and responsibility?
Yeah,
everybody understands that?
Yes.
Based on what we saw last week, are we prepared for anything of that nature?
Bruce, it seemed real slow. And I would agree with what Marty said about now we're starting to get the job done. But certainly there was a sense that the impact was not understood and that the feds were responding not in due course.
Marty.
If you have a nuclear facility in your area, in your state, if you have a chemical facility, it is your responsibility as the mayor, as the governor, as the head of the National Guard there to be aware of that facility, to understand the implications of what would happen if something happened to that facility, and to be the first, to be primarily in charge of responding immediately to any events that occur in that facility. And you can't say, oh, we've got this facility here in Peoria.
And you should be able to do that because tens of billions of dollars have been flowing to you.
Federal money.
That's right. Your response. Are you confident?
Confident
that they failed? They failed the test.
In
the first 9/11 test, they failed it.
Yes, they failed the test.
You believe it?
But also that the states failed the test too, because there's no reason, there's no way on earth that we should not use this as a rallying point for states to begin to develop the kind of processes that need to be in place to deal with their issues.
Marty's,
not the federal government.
Marty said in the first hour, and I just want to repeat it, then I want to get Dan's response. Marty said, compare this with the way a local mayor and a governor of a state responded to 9/11.
Right.
Look what they did on their own, and then the feds helped, as they had a responsibility
right.
to it. But where was the Rudy Giuliani moment? Your response, Dan.
My response originally is when you said now is the time for states and the feds, especially with big national significant events like this hurricane, now's the time to get some plans. The other more important part, in my opinion, is resources. And I think it's not fair to suggest that there's no impact on our preparedness when we are invading another country, now we're occupying another country,
and our
National Guardsmen are in a foreign country. I think it is crazy to suggest that doesn't have any impact on our national
guardsmen. Did you hear me say it doesn't have any impact?
It has
some impact.
Yes.
But
I said it was unfair when I brought it up.
I said it was unfair to say that was critical because, in fact, two-thirds of the, it's 80% of the National Guardsmen in Louisiana are still in Louisiana.
35%.
Well, we got to pause. 1-800-723-8029 from coast to coast and border to border, full line of lights. Full border lights, and we will light them up when we come back from Chicago. Thanks for joining us tonight, wherever you're listening, on this important Sunday night, responding to one of America's most devastating moments last week.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
After 25 years of marriage, I can't imagine life without Bob. So when his doctor told him his high blood pressure and cholesterol increased his risk of a heart attack, I worried. But I feel better because his doctor recommended Bayer.
Doctors know that Bayer low dose can prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. And Bayer is the brand that more doctors take for their own hearts. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen.
We both feel better because I take my Bayer.
You'll feel better, protected by Bayer. Talk to your doctor.
From Boise, Idaho to Boston, Massachusetts, you are listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Our liberal tonight is Dan Johnson Weinberger. Our conservative is Marty Garrity. Coretta McFerrin is a community and community leader for most of her adult life. And also Michael Horowitz joins us. He is a psychologist and he is president of the Chicago School. That's a school specializing in educating psychologists, the largest of its kind in the United States. Let us go back to calls. Lots of people want to get in on this conversation. Let's head to the Deep South. Morris, Alabama is the place. Listening to us on WAPI. JJ, go ahead. You're on the air.
How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
I love your program.
Thank you.
I just want to remind you that I think it was Teddy Roosevelt who said that the president should be the people's advocate. And this president doesn't seem to have the common touch to understand that. Can you imagine what would have happened if he'd gone on and offered an acre or two of his ranch for a tent city or something when all this happened? Man, you couldn't get him out of office if something like that happened. He just doesn't seem to get it. And I voted for him.
I agree with you.
Buchanan,
I do too.
His talk recently about impeaching the man. I'm for it. I'm sorry. I think he's totally out of touch.
JJ, you think he sort of comes off as like a corporate CEO who's like doesn't get what working people are like?
I don't think he's that good. I'm sorry. He's arrogant. He's ignorant. And I think, and I'm saying this as a fellow who voted for him. Of course, I also voted for Perot. But I think he's brain damaged from marijuana or something. Sorry, that's all I got.
Okay, well, as I said at the beginning, by the way, in case you tuned in late, I want to repeat a couple of things. I want to repeat a statement that I made at the beginning of the program. And I offered this as something that I thought our liberal and our conservative would agree on. Our liberal did not agree with everything that I'm about to say. But I'm going to ask the good doctor to get your response to this. It's somewhat political. It's beyond your area, but you've got some thoughts on this. And I want everybody, in case you've just tuned in, whether you agree, we all agree, or I agree, with the following statements. President Bush is a man who thinks slowly, talks slowly, and acts slowly. Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi have large populations of poor and poorly educated or uneducated people. New Orleans and Louisiana are legendary for their inefficiency and corruption. In times of crisis, politicians like to point fingers and shift blame. Government tends to react to problems and not prepare for them very well. And anyone who relies on government will be disappointed. Doctor, do you agree with that? Any of those?
Probably all of them, Bruce, are statements that would get a majority vote. You know, focusing on the first one, I do think that it was kind of devastating for the country for the president to not grasp what was going on as quickly as he might have. Because once he's gotten involved, and it seems that he's been very active in now getting resources to the affected areas the last few days, but I think it was on Tuesday that he flew over the disaster, went on to California. I think something was a little off there and affected us as a country when we later saw that there were so many people not getting help, and whether it was because of local or state or national officials, it didn't fit with the sense that we had of ourselves as people who take care of each other.
Let's go to Kansas City, Missouri. Alex is listening to us on KCMO. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
You know, this question might be a little over the top of the panel, and it might not be appropriate considering the disaster that just happened, but I'm wondering, should criminal or some type of criminal negligence charges be brought against the local officials of New Orleans for their incompetence in this matter?
I'd give an answer to that. The editorial board of the Times-Picayune, I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Picayune.
New Orleans newspaper, they had an editorial, you know, they had a 16-page paper, that's all they could get out, and they called for the resignation of all the FEMA officials, and they put most of their scorn, this is their paper, on the feds, and they did not heap scorn on their state and local officials.
Who is this paper?
I mean,
that's a pretty easy shot.
Yeah, that was biased.
One thing that's not clear, though.
I'm going to get Dan to respond. I mean,
right.
Come on. Isn't that kind of an easy shot?
Why, you don't think the Chicago papers would turn on our mayor when...
I think any newspaper in any city in the United States will always point fingers at the federal government first, whether they deserve it or not, and the federal government in this case deserves it. FEMA deserves it. I don't disagree with that particular point, but I don't think that's necessarily a startling thing. I don't know what the political relationship between that mayor, but I've got to tell you, and it's the question I asked, which Chris Bury said was the million-dollar question. I want to know the person that said, you know what, we're opening up the Superdome,
yes,
and we're telling everybody to go there, because you know what, that person maybe should have some criminal charges against them, because
right,
you know what, they weren't prepared. You don't send people into a building that is not prepared to take them.
No,
don't do it.
A human being did that. The guy who made that decision has a name, just like Michael Brown, the head of FEMA, has taken all this stuff. And again, you know, would I get rid of him? Yes. Would I get rid of him now? No. Because you know what? We don't need any on the job training.
That's
I
right.
wouldn't even want Rudy Giuliani in that job right now. It would take him months to figure out what would happen. I think in times of crisis, you either have someone that rises to the occasion and knows exactly what to do, and Rudy Giuliani did, or you have someone like the mayor of New Orleans, and he didn't.
And the governor. Stop leaving the governor out. She admitted she did not know what to do.
I will acknowledge that as well. She's no George Pataki.
And she needs to be included in that list.
Dr. Horowitz.
Bruce, one thing that's unclear is how much the communication infrastructure of the city, including that which the mayor had to use, was impacted. You made the comparison with New York City. I understand that the mayor was reduced to sending physical runners to deliver messages.
Well, wait a minute. We got one thing going on here. Rudy Giuliani had no advance warning. At 8:47, nobody knew this was going to happen. They knew this was coming 2 days in advance. I think it was the local authorities who said, okay, everybody, head for the Superdome. They didn't say the convention center, by the way. That was sort of an invention by the people. The Superdome is where they were told to go, and they had days to prepare for this before all of the cell towers crashed.
That is correct.
So they had all the time they needed to say to people, go to the Superdome, or go out in front of your house and you'll find a bus, get on it, and we'll take you somewhere, and you won't have to pay anything to ride the bus, and we'll house you when we get you where we're going to get you. That's what they should have done, and they didn't, and it's the local people who
Terry in New Lenox, Illinois, on WLS. You're on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good. Thanks for calling us.
I have a statement about the media's role in the disaster.
Yes.
But first I want to address Dan Johnson and the callers who are blaming Bush on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
FEMA created the Pre-Disaster Mitigation Act under the direction of Director Witt in 1998. And contrary to what Dan Johnson and everybody's saying, the act had a specific goal that included streamlining disaster preparedness under state and local direction as the first line of assistance. You know, and to add insult to injury, the House passed a Republican-sponsored bill called H.R. 3181 that was called the Pre-Disaster Mitigation Program Reauthorization Act of 2003. And the Senate shelved it in committee. So if people want to blame people and point fingers, then they should be looking at what happened in that bill. And this gets me really upset because there's a lot of finger pointing. In 2000, the Clinton administration did a research thing for FEMA by the Mercatus Center. And the study had two major findings. One, that FEMA's efforts in South Carolina after Hurricane Hugo were viewed as a failure because several prominent politicians immediately took to the airwaves and painted a picture of federal incompetence. And two, which is most important, the media plays a crucial role in helping with disasters. They're supposed to be getting information out and helping people. Contrary to that, the media this time around has just spent all their time pointing the finger, fear-mongering, race-baiting, and playing up the tragedy just for television ratings. And I think it's abysmal.
Your response, Dan.
You know, I just find it interesting that if you think there's a problem in passing some legislation, which you're clearly an expert on, you know more than most of us do about particular legislation.
The only point I wanted to make, Terry, is that if
you're saying there's a problem that some legislation wasn't passed 2 years ago when the Democrats were in control for like 9 months. In the last decade in Congress, this was
a reauthorization act. If you go and look at the Pre-Disaster Mitigation Act, it was a temporary bill that was supposed to be reauthorized. What it is it's funding for the disasters, and they did not reauthorize it. That's not the Republicans' fault that it was shelved in the Senate. It's everybody's fault.
Terry, would you just concede that any federal actions since the election of 2004? Certainly, since the Republicans have been running the House, since the Republicans have complete control of the federal government, wouldn't you concede that any shortcomings of the federal government are now, if you have to blame a party, you got to blame the Republicans?
I want to ask you a question. They don't have a role in government, and they have just as big a role. Whether they're a minority or not, they have a role to do what's right and not to play politics for this nation, and I'm sick of it.
Why is it, Dan, that on several occasions throughout the show tonight, you have thrown in Republican? Why is it important at a time of national controversy? Why is it important to identify Republican this and Republican that?
I have not
I have not described the political affiliation of the governor of the state or not on the air, and I haven't discovered, and I don't even think Marty has discussed, you know, the political affiliation of the mayor of that city. Why is it important that you've thrown Republican on? I mean, it's the Republican administration that did this. It's because of the war in Iraq. Why can't we get back to my initial point? Why can't we just acknowledge that a lot of people screwed up on this?
There's no question.
Of all labels.
Here's why.
Why keep coming back to it? I want to get your response
you
to that. But you know what? The music is a playing. It means we got to be a going.
We've
got
another
15 minutes to go. It means stand by your radios wherever you are.
Let's find out in a few minutes.
3 minutes and 15 seconds away. Dan will have 3 minutes and 15 seconds
right,
to
fine.
Think of that answer. Back shortly from Chicago.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis and eczema for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, is the only treatment I've used that actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch, no more bleeding, and I haven't had a flare-up since I started using it. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc is the only product that's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't. It's really the closest thing to a medical miracle.
Call now for your 30-day risk-free trial of the Skin Zinc system at 1-800-507-5904. That's 1-800-507-5904. Eliminate itching, flaking, and scaling. Call 1-800-507-5904. Restore your skin to a clearer, healthier state. 1-800-507-5904.
From Chicago, I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. Dan Jackson-Weinberger, you were going to respond to the question I asked before the break, which was about why you keep bringing up the word Republican. Why is it so important to you?
Because for me, I think a lot of what the tragedy, besides the natural disaster, but the man-made disaster, was largely driven by poverty. And I think it has largely been the Republican federal policies of the last 5 years, which has increased the poverty rate, just cutting taxes for the wealthy and hurting working people.
And poverty, would you add poverty and ignorance? Poverty and ignorance.
And those were invented in 2005, right?
Let them finish.
And so what I think is driven by, when your poverty rate has increased, which it undoubtedly has the last 5 years,
only
because of those Republican policies, I think that is the main, that's what drives me,
Dan.
And I think there needs to be some accountability
to the
for
extent,
those policies which have hurt regular people and benefited the ultra-rich.
To the extent that the poverty rates have risen, it's there are two phenomena in place. One of them is the standards have risen. And number two, if you look at the quintiles of people who are poor, the people who were poor 5 years ago are not poor this year. They're being replaced in the lower quintiles. But
I'm going to cut off this debate. We got callers, but I want to go back to something that Coretta, you said off the air. Your spiritual analysis of what's going on, because you have a very strong sense spiritually. You're a very religious woman.
Yes, I am.
Religiously, what do you think happened last week?
I think that we were getting a wake-up call. I think that America, at 9/11, America got saved. Everybody was singing My Country, Tis of Thee, and God Bless America. Everybody was looking toward God, the one God in which this country was founded upon. Now, all of a sudden, after there was no more buildings being bombed, and they felt the crisis was over, business went back. We went back to business as usual, with the carnage and the absolute disregard for morality, for the sanctity of marriage, male and female marriage, for the sanctity of the home, and all the things that this country has held dear. Now, God, and I don't care what anybody says, we're going to see, we at this table and we in this country, we're going to see a continued retribution. God is tired of this.
You think this is retribution?
I really do. I think we're going
to
see something. This is this.
Went to the Bible Belt.
For the this Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, these states are a part of the Bible Belt, and especially Mississippi and Alabama. And they have, Alabama started a Mardi Gras, which is a tribute to all kind of idolatry and debauchery. And I don't care what anybody says about that; it's the truth.
Sin.
At
so you,
sin.
You think, that, you think this is retribution against them because of their gambling?
Has caused people around this country to lose homes and their future and suicide, except with them gambling, with those gambling bills. People from all over the country go. I know there are boats everywhere. I don't know what it was about Mississippi's boats, but people with churches even took buses. The gambling boats. Now, we can talk about, we can secularize this all we want to, but even a blind man can see that something is wrong in this country.
I want to ask a question. I want to ask Dr. Horwitz a question. Doctor, in the wake of 9/11, America came together. There was a cohesiveness. I have referred to it on the air as we will look back on the good old days.
That's
the
right.
Good old days when we were all together in the wake of great tragedy and loss of life. You're hearing a different response at this table and on the phone calls and what's going on in America in response to this natural disaster. Psychologically, what are we doing to ourselves and to our nation?
Yeah, it's a very interesting psychological question. Of course, with 9/11, there was an external enemy, and we rallied together as one nation. Here, I think we're illustrating tonight, and we've seen in the last week, all the blame that's being flung back and forth, and we don't quite know how to get a handle on it as a country. I think the other missing element, and you've suggested that, whether it's state, local, national, we've not had the leadership moments that we had in New York with Mayor Giuliani, Governor Pataki, eventually the president. So there really is a vacuum of leadership at all levels that's created a feeling of hopelessness and despair, I think, to some extent.
On a political question, since you brought up the subject, I want to ask Marty this question. I know you disagree with Marty or Rudy Giuliani on virtually every issue, certainly on social issues. Hmm. But would you acknowledge, as a political maven, would you acknowledge that maybe in the minds of a lot of people, even in the Republican Party, even who may describe themselves as conservatives, that in the wake of what has transpired, there may be a lot of people in this country that would have liked if Rudy Giuliani was president of the United States right now?
I don't think there's any doubt about that, that Giuliani represents a fellow that everybody thinks of as a doer and a saver and an action type person. They think that he would have done a very good job, or they think he did a very good job in New York, and would do one here too.
Dan, as a political operative, can you look across the line and say that if Rudy Giuliani were to emerge as the Republican nominee, he would be very difficult to beat as president?
I think he'll do, if he runs, I think he'll do exceptionally well in the primaries. I think he'd be a very strong candidate for the Republican Party, and I hope he doesn't run.
Would you acknowledge also, Marty, that although it is, I believe, only 10 electoral votes, 10 electoral votes, as we know, can be the difference between victory or defeat,
so can
that from this point in time, although we have a long way to go before Election Day, that it is possible that Louisiana could slip out of the Republican Electoral College, and it could create a political problem for the party, given the fact that even the Republican elected officials in that state seem to be very irate against the Republican administration.
Sure, that anything like this is going to disrupt things. It's going to move things, move the way people think around, and that could be a problem for the Republicans if Louisiana goes away.
On that note, we are out of time. Thank you all for your telephone calls. We got a full board of lights, but we're out of time for our broadcast this evening. Our thanks to Dan Johnson Weinberg, who's been our liberal. Our conservative has been Marty Garrity. Coretta McFerrin has been our community activist. And also Dr. Michael Horowitz has been with us, our psychologist, our president, and a professor at the Chicago School.
Thank you,
Professor, thanks very much. Beyond the Beltway is a Genevieve production produced in association with WS News Talk Radio and Wilbur Entertainment. Tom Veracruz and Charles Campbell help make this program possible. We will all be back next week. A reminder, 1-800-HELP-NOW. 1-800-HELP-NOW. It's the American Red Cross. Dig deep. They've got the mechanisms in place to help and send the money where it really needs to be used. 1-800-HELP-NOW. You'll feel better. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
After 25 years of marriage, I can't imagine life without Bob. So when his doctor told him his high blood pressure and cholesterol increased his risk of a heart attack, I worried. But I feel better because his doctor recommended Bayer.
Doctors know that Bayer low dose can prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. And Bayer is the brand that more doctors take for their own hearts. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen.
We both feel better because I take my Bayer.
You'll feel better, protected by Bayer. Talk to your doctor.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me. E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection. Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis and eczema for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, is the only treatment I've used that actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch, no more bleeding, and I haven't had a flare-up since I started using it. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc is the only product that's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't. It's really the closest thing to a medical miracle.
Call now for your 30-day risk-free trial of the Skin Zinc system at 1-800-507-5904. That's 1-800-507-5904. Eliminate itching, flaking, and scaling. Call 1-800-507-5904. Restore your skin to a clearer, healthier state. 1-800-507-5904.
So your kid's smoking pot, and now you're afraid to say something because they might push you away. Maybe this will help you out.
Ah, I hate you!
You went through my room?
It's just a little pot.
You're grounding me? It's just a little pot.
Get used to it. When your kid's trying pot, you have to say something, no matter how they might react. Because to help them with their problem, first you have to get over yours. Action. The anti-